Breaking news tonight, shocking comments from President Trump in the Oval Office. Sources tell NBC News he attacked immigrants from Africa and Haiti using vulgar language to describe their countries, asking, why do we want them here? The grim search in California to find people buried alive. And tonight, a new view of the sudden force of nature.
The flash floods right there. Get out of here. Go.
As the water rushed in. A new alert about your taxes, why you need to pay extra close attention to your paycheck to make sure you're getting the right amount. The sex scandal swirling around a GOP rising star governor admitting he cheated on his wife but denying explosive allegations he threatened to blackmail the other woman. And when every second counts, why can't 911 tell exactly where you are when you call from a cell phone?
That is crazy. That's got to be almost 16 blocks away.
What our team found that could cost you in an emergency.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our viewers in the West. Using vulgar language, President Trump today questioned why the United States would allow people from Haiti and Africa into the country, describing those places using an expletive, while suggesting people from Norway might be more acceptable. He reportedly made the comments during a White House meeting with a bipartisan group of senators. The White House tonight is not denying the president made the remarks. We want you to know our report includes that expletive once so that you can hear the complete quote for yourself. Of course, it may not be appropriate for some of our younger viewers. NBC's Peter Alexander has details.
The president tonight apparently uncorking another astonishing statement, complaining to lawmakers in the Oval Office about protections for immigrants. Why do we want these people from, quote, all these shithole countries here? According to a Democratic aide familiar with the conversation, Mr. Trump was referring to African nations and Haiti before suggesting the U.S. should have more people from places like Norway, whose prime minister he met yesterday. A White House spokesman tonight not denying the president's words, but saying certain Washington politicians choose to fight for foreign countries, but President Trump will always fight for the American people. It comes as lawmakers try to hammer out an immigration deal, with time running out for hundreds of thousands of young undocumented immigrants called Dreamers. The crass remark punctuating a wild day in Washington, with President Trump fiercely criticizing the controversial Foreign Surveillance Intelligence Act, or FISA, just hours before Congress was set to vote. The president resurrecting his unfounded attack on the Obama administration, claiming this is the act that may have been used to so badly surveil and abuse the Trump campaign by the previous administration and others. The intelligence community immediately erupting.
I thought the president's tweets, once again, were irresponsible and not thought through.
Even Republicans frustrated.
To be honest, the tweet was a mistake. The president is supporting the vote today.
If you're a member of the intelligence community and you woke up this morning and saw that tweet, it's hard for me to describe the outrage and consternation.
The president posted his tweet that contradicted the White House's public position after this direct appeal from a Fox News analyst.
Mr. President, this is not the way to go.
President Trump later this morning appearing to reverse himself, get smart. The White House in damage control with Chief of Staff John Kelly hustling to the Hill and Paul Ryan getting on the phone with the president.
72 goes down. We don't know what the terrorists are up to. The consequences are really high.
The program ultimately passed. Tonight, top Democratic lawmakers are blasting the president's vulgar comment, one calling it unforgivable. Here with the White House, an official tells NBC News President Trump felt particularly frustrated when today's immigration discussion turned to the visa lottery system, a program that he wants to end. Lester?
A lot of news from there tonight. Peter Alexander, thank you. Now, the latest on another major story we've been following. Authorities fear the death toll will rise again as search teams race to find seven people still missing in the flooding and mudslides in Southern California. Now, officials have identified the 17 people confirmed dead in this disaster. Four of them are children. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer is on the ground and in the air again for us tonight.
Turn around. The flash flood's right there.
This is the moment.
Get out of here, go!
The force of nature arrived.
Oh my God, Mom!
People think of water like a river. This is a, you wouldn't last 2 seconds. It's a blender of huge 50-foot logs and 5-foot by 5-foot boulders grinding.
Somehow, Marco Farrell and his family escaped what so many others could not outrun.
I don't know how anyone can survive this.
After searching for his mom, Josie, Hayden Gower learned her body was recovered overnight. Diane Brewer lost her best friend.
I never could imagine such a scene.
From above, it looks like a war zone. The Coast Guard plucking families, even pets, where search teams on the ground could not reach them.
They've been in the air here now 3 days, but now no sign of survivors. Just a mud flow from the mountains all the way into the ocean.
The shoreline marred with debris. Highway 101 shut down into next week.
Hey, Oprah, how are you?
Montecito's famous residents grateful for what they still have.
I am going to do whatever I can for the rest of the community.
There's been more than 100 rescues. Inga Gilbar carried out of her home by firefighters when mud poured in.
We had no idea what a flash flood was until I saw this torrent, raging river coming down with cars and rocks.
Tonight, the mudslide may be over, but so much of what's been carried away will never come back.
Authorities say more than 100 homes have serious damage. There's real concern that neighbors could be trapped in debris fields like this one. When that mud came pouring downhill, it was powerful enough to blast holes right through homes and rip them apart. Anything inside could have traveled up to 2 miles away. When many survivors return back to their homes, their houses will be unrecognizable. Lester?
Yeah, the force of those flows in that video continues to astound us. Miguel Almaguer in California, thank you. Now to those new developments about your taxes tonight and the reason you'll want to take an extra close look at your upcoming paychecks. The IRS today released the new tax tables for companies to calculate how much tax to withhold from employees' paychecks. But the IRS says employees should take it upon themselves to double-check their employer's math. NBC's Tom Costello has the details.
If you're like millions of Americans wondering whether the new tax law will mean more take-home pay, a warning tonight, you may need to do your homework. The IRS says it's up to all of us to double-check our pay stubs starting next month to ensure employers aren't taking out too much tax or too little. The IRS only rolled out the new tax withholding tables today.
There's a lot of work left to be done, but we're estimating that 90% of the workers are going to see an increase in take-home pay because of the Tax Cuts Act.
The White House is anxious for Americans to see that higher take-home pay, but so far employers have had to use last year's tables to calculate withholdings. Employers are now scrambling to use the tables released today by mid-February.
There is a lot of confusion. We've been handling phone calls, for the past 3 weeks.
Boston CPA Jeff Levine's advice for middle-class Americans, don't change your personal exemptions to increase your take-home pay, at least not yet.
This tax law has been promoted as a major tax law change. Their real savings may not be as large as they think. So if they make a large change to their withholding deductions, they may end up owing taxes at the end of the year, or they might face a penalty.
Next month, the IRS will roll out a new online calculator to help Americans determine whether their employer is withholding too much or not enough tax, so they can then ask their employer to make any necessary adjustments. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
And we are already seeing the effects of those tax changes on American companies. Today, Walmart, the nation's largest private employer, announced plans to raise wages, hand out bonuses, and increase benefits. But there's some bad news for employees and customers at some Walmart-owned Sam's Club stores. We get details from our Gabe Gutierrez.
Tonight, a pay raise at the nation's biggest retailer. Wages at Walmart will now start at $11 an hour, up from $9. Eligible employees will also get up to a $1,000 bonus, depending on their years of service.
Well, they're $298.
Karina Hansen in Frisco, Texas, works at Walmart with her husband.
Any extra income or bonus is awesome. That just means more we get to spend a little bit and put into a savings account for our three kids for the future.
But the news comes on the same day Walmart announced it was closing dozens of Sam's Club stores. Still, Walmart's one of more than 100 companies passing on some of the savings after Congress cut the corporate tax rate from 35% to 21%, including JetBlue, Southwest, and American Airlines, a handful of banks, AT&T, and NBC parent company Comcast.
Our historic reductions to the business tax will raise annual household income by an average of $4,000. That's a tremendous number.
Policymakers are divided on how much of this financial optimism is due to tax cuts and how much is due to low unemployment.
But at the end of the day, we're running out of workers. And when you run out of workers, you got to pay more.
So companies like Walmart are having to find new ways to keep the employees they have. And with corporate profits expected to soar, Wall Street hit another record high today. Lester?
All right, Gabe Gutierrez, thanks. After a slight warm-up from the deep freeze across much of America, here it comes again. Tonight, 60 million people are under winter weather alerts as a huge ice storm moves across the country. Snow, ice, and freezing rain could create slick and dangerous conditions tomorrow morning, affecting the commute in cities like Detroit, Indianapolis, Nashville, and Memphis. And forecasters are warning as the ice builds up, it could bring down tree limbs and cause widespread power outages. Now to the flu emergency raging across the country. This year, even people who got the flu shot are getting sick. So why is this season so bad? We sent NBC medical correspondent Dr. John Torres, who is an emergency room doctor himself, to one of the busiest ERs in the nation to get answers.
At Maimonides Medical Center in Brooklyn,
how's it going?
Dr. Eitan Dickman and his staff are seeing a 30% spike in flu patients.
So how many patients coming in the door with the flu have not gotten the flu shot?
We've actually seen a fair number of people, even if they've gotten the flu shot, are still becoming ill from the flu.
How do you feel?
People like Muriel Greenblatt, who gets her flu shot every year.
I was getting very weak. I couldn't walk.
Children are getting sick, too. Many schools are closed. Why is the flu so bad this year? The vaccine is only 30% effective against this year's strain, which is more aggressive than those in recent years.
So those younger folks have not ever been exposed to that strain of virus, and they're more susceptible.
Doctors say go to the hospital if you have trouble breathing, can't keep fluids down, have a fever over 100 for more than a day.
If the symptoms are very severe, you should come to the emergency department.
Another reason this flu season is so bad, it started early. But experts aren't sure whether it's peak or if it'll continue to get worse before it gets better. Lester?
Dr. John Torres, thank you. Now to the scandals swirling around a GOP rising star. The governor of Missouri, a former Navy SEAL, admitting he cheated on his wife, but he's denying explosive allegations that he threatened to blackmail the other woman. And there's late word tonight, prosecutors in St. Louis are launching an investigation. NBC's Blake McCoy is in Missouri with the story.
Please, thank you.
Hours after delivering his televised State of the State speech,
thank you to Sheena, my beautiful wife and our First Lady.
Missouri Governor Eric Greitens, a former Navy SEAL and Republican rising star, released a joint statement with his wife admitting an extramarital affair. Before Eric was elected governor, there was a time when he was unfaithful in our marriage. This was a deeply personal mistake. Eric took responsibility, and we dealt with this together, honestly and privately. The admission follows a bombshell local news report with a man who says he's the ex-husband of the other woman. His identity concealed by the TV station, he says he secretly recorded his wife during counseling. We've altered her voice.
I met Eric a year ago and I instantly had a big crush on him.
In the recording, which NBC News has not verified, she says the governor threatened to blackmail her with a naked photograph to stay quiet. Details the governor's attorney calls outrageous and false. No sign of Greitens today.
He's looking for the governor. Is he here?
Either at the Capitol or the governor's mansion. Tonight, fallout already calls for an investigation. One fellow Republican tweeting, "Stick a fork in him." In a statement of her own, his wife Sheena says it's between them and God and is telling those who wish to peddle gossip to stay away from me and my children. Blake McCoy, NBC News, Jefferson City, Missouri.
There's a lot more ahead as we continue here tonight. Still ahead, what if 911 can't find you during an emergency? A critical flaw at call centers across the country that could mean the difference between life and death. Also, those who serve. The six-year-old boy who survived the unimaginable gets quite a homecoming. Back now with an alarming investigation into our country's emergency 911 system. An overwhelming majority of Americans now use cell phones to call for help, but there's a dangerous downside. The 911 system is still so low tech, often dispatchers can't find you when you need help the most. NBC News national investigative correspondent Jeff Rawson tells us what's being done to fix it in tonight's Rossin Report.
It's a public safety crisis. Because of old infrastructure, emergency dispatchers often can't locate you when you call from a cell phone. And it's happening from the West.
Bam.
I know you need an address. Okay. I don't know her address.
To the East.
I'm in a car in a lake.
29-year-old Chanel Anderson drowned when 911 couldn't find her.
I'm moving the oil very quickly.
Not working.
Critics call it outrageous. You can order an Uber on your cell phone to your exact location.
Here's my Uber right now. She found me.
You can post selfies on Facebook.
When I tag the location, yep, there it is. Facebook knows exactly where I am.
But not when you call 911. I first exposed this problem 3 years ago, trying 911 myself outside D.C.
911, what's your emergency?
Hi, this is Jeff Rossin with NBC News. Just want to know if you can tell me where our location is on your computer.
Showing 4641 West Fox Road.
That's not here.
Absolutely not. That's about a quarter mile away.
At the time, federal officials promised to fix it, so we just tried again, this time in Arvada, Colorado.
I'm wondering if you can tell me on your screen right now where it says I am.
66th Place and Dover Street.
That is crazy.
Where
that's
is that?
Got to be almost 16 blocks away.
16 blocks away. And by the way, to make this even more crazy, that is the emergency dispatch center. We are in the police department right now. It's literally across the hall.
It's across the hall.
Where that dispatcher is sitting.
Yes.
What do you make of this?
When it comes to public safety, when we need to save lives, we cannot have this gap.
This is life and death.
This is life and death.
The FCC says by 2021, all wireless carriers must give more accurate location data. But that's still years away. The FCC declined our request for an interview, telling NBC News they're working on multiple fronts to promote a modernized 911 system supporting enhanced tools and features. Some blame the wireless carriers, too, saying they're not doing enough. The industry group telling us they've established a multi-city trial to evaluate new technologies and are working closely with the public safety community. But until then, this dangerous gap will stay on it. Jeff Rossin, NBC News, Arvada, Colorado.
A troubling flaw in the system. Coming up, the new warning from the FDA about the medicine you shouldn't be giving your kids. And why one prestigious museum now has a puppy on the payroll. A new warning from the FDA, cough medicines that contain opioids like codeine should never be given to children, and those medications will now be labeled to make that clear. They'll also be labeled with reminders about the addiction dangers to adults. Another close call at San Francisco International Airport. The FAA now investigating why an Aeromexico plane nearly landed on the wrong runway Tuesday within a mile of another aircraft before it was diverted. The airport had two similar incidents last year. And we couldn't resist showing you the cutest new employee at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. Meet Riley, not a bomb-sniffing dog, but a bug-sniffing dog. The Weimaraner puppy was brought on board to use his exceptional sense of smell to find insects that could damage the works of art. And let's face it, it's fun to have a four-legged friend around. We should all have one at the office. I have one in mind. Up next, a little boy's emotional homecoming with those who serve. Finally tonight, a joyous milestone for a little boy who survived last fall's horrible massacre inside a Texas church. He lost family in the attack, but he gained a community who has embraced him with love and support, especially the firemen who helped save him, who was there for his recovery, and who today delivered on a promise. He is one of those who serve. On that November day in a rural Texas church, the peaceful sounds of prayer were shattered by gunfire. On the floor, among the bodies and the Bibles, was 5-year-old Rylan Ward, shot 5 times. His stepmother and 2 sisters were killed. Firefighter Rusty Duncan was one of the first on the scene.
I went to a certain aisle and was checking pulses when a little hand grabbed my pant leg. I just saw his eyes looking up at me. And I knew I had to get him out of there.
Rylan spent more than 2 months in the hospital. It's where he celebrated his 6th birthday. Firefighter Duncan and his family visited often. During one of those hospital visits, Duncan talked to Rylan about someday taking a ride in his fire truck.
He goes, well, let's go right now. And I said, I don't have it here right now. And he said, well, go get it. And I said, I I can't go get it. We'll wait for the doctors to say you can go, and then I'll pick you up in it.
As any six-year-old will tell you, a promise is a promise, and Duncan kept his. This afternoon, firefighters, police officers, and other first responders escorted Rylan home in Duncan's fire truck. The people of Sutherland Springs were there for the big homecoming on the main street of this little town.
He was sitting in the truck waving out the window.
He looked like a little kid on Christmas morning.
One of our angels is coming home.
A community that was broken is now rebuilding by relying on their faith and each other. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.